commemorate the life and the death of Jesus Christ. To think about what he really did and what he chose to do willingly. He was crucified, as was prophesied. And that'll be our thought tonight as we walk through the scripture, is to just draw your attention to what the word says. A lot of times you're used to going to church and hearing the preacher, you know, read a verse or two and then preach an hour or two, right? What I'd like to do tonight is let the word and the story of the word just speak for itself. I will share just a few thoughts between each verse or each section that we're going to read. But what we'd like to do tonight is invite you to have the full story and to just think through what your Savior went through out of love for you. And it is an amazing thing that Jesus was crucified, as was prophesied. God had foretold the parts of the story ahead of time so that we would know it was his plan, he was in control, and that he was at work for good, even in shame, even in suffering, even in death. And that is so tonight as well. That's who he is. He works for good in all those situations. And he wants us to know that you can trust your future to the God who knows your future. It's an amazing thing to see what God revealed to us before it was ever written down, that we would really know all that he has done. And so we are gathering tonight in uncertain times, and they too gathered in an uncertain time. But this one thing is certain, is that God loves you and wants you in a close relationship with him, even willing to lay down his life that could happen. And so his story has become our story, hasn't it? But it seems like it's almost too good to be true. And that's why tonight, as we read that story, I want you to see the prophecies of the Old Testament combined with that story so that you'll know, while the message is more than we can comprehend, it's true. He loves you. Let's pray. Father, I'm overwhelmed with this thought. That you love me so much that you are willing to give your son. That we could spend eternity with you. And so we have gathered tonight to think about this, to contemplate this. And we ask that you would take this time and draw us to Christ and his cross and his love. And change us forever through the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand. Let's stand together.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to make me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me, and on the cross he sealed my pardon, and paid the debt. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save, in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. Cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power. Tell how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
You may be seated. Our readings tonight will each come from the Gospel of Matthew. And we do realize that it's probably darker than a number of you can read with. I think there's times when it's good just to sit and just hear the word. Just hear the word. And just think about him. Think about what he's done. Matthew chapter 26. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." And the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the time, at the home of Simon the leper, and a woman came to him with an alabaster veil of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured out this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her." Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. And from then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Cause you are my King, and you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." And being deeply grieved, they each began to say to one another, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. And the Son of Man is going to go just as it was written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." But Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And Jesus said to him, You have said it yourself. But while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day that I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. As it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. And then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. And he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." Jesus was the last prophet to foretell his death. But months, weeks, and days before he entered Jerusalem for that last time, he told them that he would be crucified, as was prophesied. Hear what the prophets have said.
Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. And humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
It seemed foolish to Peter, but God's plans go beyond man's comprehension. While Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him." And immediately, Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." And then he came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to him, "Put the sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scripture be fulfilled, which says that it must happen this way?" That time Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets." And then the disciples left him and fled. And those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and he entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. But the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they did not find any. even though many false witnesses came forward, but later two came forward and said, this man stated, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood and said to him, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you that hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his robes and says, he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they answered, he deserves death. And they spat in his face, and they beat him with their fists, and others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who has hit you? Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're talking about. And when he'd gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus the Nazarene. And he denied it again with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. They all ran away. They all denied him. They abandoned him. They failed him. Just like us. Each in our own way. But hear what the prophets have said.
And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? And then he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him. And they led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. And then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse. And he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and he hanged himself. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood. And they conferred together, and with the money bought the potter's field as a place of burial for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. And then Pilate said to them, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he did not answer him with regard to a single charge, so that the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. And at that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to him, whom do you want me to release for you? Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. And while he was still sitting on his judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they all said, crucify him. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, saying, crucify him! When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And all the people said, his blood shall be on us and on our children. And then he released Barabbas for them. But having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. The Son of God was scourged, whipped, beaten as a criminal for us, the true criminals of sin. He did it willingly. He did it silently. Hear what the prophets have said.
He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour content on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, and all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. And did such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, and all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name.
God's plans provided His Son as our sacrifice. You may be seated. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole Roman cohort around him, and they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him, and they took the reed and began to beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And at that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You, who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there when they heard it began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and they gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had been fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Crucifixion. The most painful, humiliating means of public execution ever invented by man. But hundreds of years before it had been designed, it was foretold by David the prophet. He explained what was going to happen to Jesus in Psalms 22, here what the prophets have said.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. The rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, and Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Well, Jesus knew what the prophets wrote. Surely that's how he arranged all these things to work out so well, right? You know, it's pretty hard to control people when you're hanging on a cross. What they did, what was written hundreds of years before, God's plan was for Messiah to come and to die. To die in our place. We were the ones who deserved to die. But he was crucified, as was prophesied. Why? So that then and now we would know. We would know we could trust God. That we would have no doubts to his divine design and to his eternal destiny. Jesus Christ was literally born to die. His blood paid for our sin. His body was broken for our healing. He did it all. Willingly, for you and for me, so that we could be family, his family, an eternal family. I can't comprehend that kind of love. All I can do is choose to say, I need it. I can say, I don't deserve it. I can say, I'm not worthy of it. That's the point. If you sit here tonight, if that's a point that you're wrestling with, say, well, I'm not worthy of that. That's right. But he said, I love you that much. That I value you that much. That I give you this worth. So our worth comes to us not by what we can do, but by what he has done. So regardless of where you find yourself tonight in your ability to perform, your ability to do well, your ability to make a name for yourself, it's his name that matters. And to come to a spot where we would say, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior who was prophesied and crucified for me. And I will trust him with my life. I will trust him for my forgiveness rather than my own efforts. I will renounce trusting myself, and I will yield myself to his control. Do you remember hearing Jesus do that? He did that in Gethsemane. That's what he said. He had a physical desire to live, just like you and I have a physical desire to do life the way we want to do life. And yet, what did he say? Father, not my will, but yours be done. That, my friends, I believe is the core prayer for the believer. You want to know how to live the Christian life? You want to know how to follow Jesus Christ? Learn to say, not my will, but yours be done. And so I don't know what you're facing tonight, but as I look across my friends and my family, I see a lot of different families, and I know you, and I know much of the pain and the difficulty and the challenge that each of you face. And in that spot that's unique for you tonight, before we come to take of this table, can you say with Jesus Christ to the Father, not my will, but yours be done? That's what I'd invite you to do. That's what it means to prepare your heart to partake in a worthy manner. It's to say, I give up my will that your will might be accomplished in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my church. Not my will, but yours be done. Let us pray. Jesus, you showed us how to do this so perfectly. You were the perfect Savior. You are the perfect Savior. And we need your cleansing. We come tonight to say together that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Save me. Cleanse me. Change me. Forgive me. Empower me. Not my will, but yours be done. Thank you that your will is good and acceptable and perfect forever. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for rising again. And thank you that you're coming soon. We come tonight to this table to remember what you've done and to affirm together that yes, your body and your blood are sufficient for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. I'd like to ask those who have been selected to serve tonight if they would come forward at this time to serve communion. There in that upper room, as the disciples were still debating about who was the greatest, Jesus Christ washed feet. As they were still wondering whether or not they could be continually faithful, Jesus prayed for them. As they came to that spot where they said, I can do this, Jesus just said, this is my body. It's broken for you. Isn't it an amazing thing to think about that? They didn't get it, and he still gave it. Do you ever feel that unworthiness? Understand, they didn't get it either. They didn't do it right either. They didn't understand it. And yet he still said, this is for you. And he gave it to Judas and said, this is for you. When Judas came back to him, he said, friend. And we would think, how could he say friend to Judas? Because Jesus was holding nothing against Judas. It was Judas holding evil against Christ. Isn't that an amazing thought? That Jesus can look at you and say, friend, that's what this bread's about. Larry, would you ask a blessing on the bread?
Heavenly Father, as we partake of this bread tonight, let us remember this is a symbol of Christ's body that was broken for our sins. We just ask the blessing on it.
Amen.
Sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me on the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to make me free. Sing, O sea.
What an amazing love. That life itself, Jesus Christ, was willing to lay down His life for you and for me. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, this bread is for you as a symbol of the life that he gave, that you might know you are freely and fully forgiven. It was broken for you. Eat you all of it. Marvin, would you ask a blessing upon the cup?
Lord, thank you for your shed blood upon that tree. Lord, your blood has set us free. It's made us white as snow. And it's just taken all our sins away. We just praise you for that, Father God. For sending your Son to you.
Amen. Amen.
The bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
How could he do this? Choose to give life away. To choose to lay it down. To choose to pour it out. It actually says in one of the Psalms that he learned to trust the Father when he nursed on his mother. He came to this point, he laid his life down believing that what the Father said was true, is that he would give his life back. He said, I lay it down to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So this was a great act of sacrifice. But it also was the incredible act of faith, displaying a full confidence that the Father's plan was totally good and worth trusting. And so he said, this cup, it's a new covenant. And it's for you. For the forgiveness of your sins. Drink you all of his cup. I'd like you to stand and sing with me a song of response. It'll be on the overhead. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Many women were there looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him, and among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. And now the next day, the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I'm going to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He's risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go and make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. He was executed, humiliated, abandoned. And yet, even in death, he was still reverenced and he was honored. A complete contrast to what would ever happen to a crucified man. It was the ultimate shame. And yet some saw there was no shame in sacrifice. Here, again, what the prophet said.
His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand.
Let's stand. He was dead. He was buried. He was guarded. It was a dark night in dark times. But it was still God's plan. Because God's plan was completed by Christ.
Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, a place of thine. Thy blood hath bought and bought for me, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, oh blessed Lord, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath bought and bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more. Complete in thee, yea, justified, O blessed God, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath bought and bought for me, and glorified
I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be. At thy right hand, complete in thee, yea, justified, oh, blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Yea, justified, oh, blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. And glorified I too shall be. And glorified I too shall be.
Jesus Christ was crucified for you. The very light of his life was snuffed out. He was crucified as was prophesied, that you might trust him, that you might know him, that you might love him, and that you might praise him, and that you might share him. As we prepare to go tonight, we're going to leave the lights out, and this room will just be quiet. When you go outside the doors, you may visit his family. If you'd like to sit and contemplate for a while, you're welcome to do that. The Savior loves you. The Savior loves you. The Savior loves you. You may not understand the whys right now. You may feel just like Peter did. Lord, this is not the way it should be done. Set your mind on the Father's interest and trust him. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Father, thank you. That in the midst of the fear and the heartache and the pain of this life, we know there's goodness and greatness awaiting us on the other side. And that this life is just the beginning. So we thank you for Jesus. And I ask you that even tonight, that you would draw the wanderer home. You are Savior and Lord and worthy of our trust. In the name of Jesus Christ. May he bless you with faith and with hope and with perseverance beyond the grave. Amen.